On this date in 1955, the horrific murder of 14-year-old Emmett Till in Sumner, Tallahatchie County, Mississippi, fanned increasingly regional tensions around the issue of racial oppression and civil rights. Let's learn more with Darryl Mace, associate professor and chair of the Department of History and Political Science at Cabrini College, and author of the book entitled In Remembrance of Emmett Till, Regional Stories and Media Responses to the Black Freedom Struggle. Professor Mace, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Please take us back to 1955, a very, very different time and place.
You have to remember that 1955, we're a year removed from the Brown versus the Board of Education decision that made segregated schools unconstitutional. So this led to a huge backlash, and particularly in the Deep South, with the formation of white citizens' councils that were just determined to not have their schools integrate.
Sadly, practice of lynching was institutionalized in the Deep South long before the murder of Emmett Till. What about his case brought it to the level of notoriety?
Well, one of the things that is unique about the Till case is that there had been a couple years where there were no lynchings in the country. And Emmett Till, because he was from Chicago, because he was 14 years old, really kind of fanned this kind of backlash against this crime that was committed against him. He's an outsider. He doesn't understand the Mississippi racial norms. And he's steps in and allegedly whistles at Carolyn Bryan, and a couple days later, he ends up dead.
Let's talk about the press. In the mid-50s, I presume that newspaper readership was at its apex, and much of the book's premise is based on different regional presses.
Correct. Yes. 1955 is really the apex of print media coverage, in part because television news was shorter. It's about 15 minutes long. So when people found out about news, it happened through the newspapers. And so the press actually had a very powerful role in shaping the way people responded to events. They kind of highlight certain stories and downplay other stories, and also framing where they talk about a certain aspect of a story and not another aspect of the story.
And so how could one get to the truth? Obviously, if you read the Jackson News in Mississippi, it was very different than reading, say, accounts based out of Chicago or Detroit.
The truth is just so subjective. Oftentimes, people would read multiple newspapers. For example, in the city of Philadelphia, you had the Philadelphia Inquirer and you had the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin. The Evening Bulletin was much more of a Republican paper, and the Philadelphia Inquirer was much more leaning towards Democratic. And in cities that were fortunate enough to have black newspapers, Philadelphia being one, they would read the black newspaper, but they would also read one or two of the mainstream newspapers.
It's too facile in our time relating to fast forward to the present and explore how media responses to events, say, Ferguson, Missouri, have changed. But this is a very different time in terms of consumers who acquire news.
It is. It is a very different time. And there's a desire for instant news. Everything is tweeted and everything is blogged. And really, the 24-hour news cycle makes people really hungry to consume media in ways that were different in 1955. You can't escape the media input now.
Is there a regional effect still?
I would say there's less of a regional effect because we have so much more national news. I mean, you have your local news that you can watch, but then there's also the national news on TV. There's the 24-hour news cycles with CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and others. So the regionalism still comes out a little bit in newspapers, but much less in television and anything that would be on the internet.
Let's talk about the lasting legacy of Emmett Till. The first subsequent one was the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Absolutely. 1964, Congress actually passed and Lyndon Johnson signed into law the Civil Rights Act. And a year later, the Voting Rights Act. They're the first civil rights legislation that have any teeth to them, meaning that the Justice Department can actually go after people who violate the laws.
Professor Mace, thanks for joining us
on
NewsWorks tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
Darryl Mace is associate professor and chair of the Department of History and Political Science at Cabrini College. He's author of the book entitled In Remembrance of Emmett Till, Regional Stories and Media Responses to the Black Freedom Struggle.